You're listening to The Profile.
Hello, and welcome to The Profile podcast. I'm Andy Peck. Maybe you have a leadership role, or maybe you're just seeking to use your influence in godly ways. You will know that leadership can be a bit of a roller coaster, wonderful highs, crushing lows, and an awful lot of daily grind. Sometimes you need advice and encouragement from people who can relate to your situation. This is why for the past 18 years I've been interviewing Christians in the world of leadership, from churches, charities, and commercial and non-commercial settings. I've been aiming to support Christians just like you, so you can honour God, who is our ultimate leader. I trust that this next conversation will be an inspiration to you. This show is brought to you by Premier Christianity Magazine, the UK's leading Christian magazine. Get full online access and the print magazine every month by becoming a subscriber. See special offers available now at premierchristianity.com.
On the Leadership Show, we've often highlighted the way in which leadership flows from our desire that the world would be different. And this is often because we ourselves have been profoundly affected by something. We don't want others to face the same trial and the struggle that we faced. And this is certainly the case for my guest today. Her name is Yvonne Tulloch, and she's the founder and CEO of the charity At A Loss, having herself been through the bereavement and felt that there were better ways of helping people like herself when they are knocked for six by a death. Yvonne has previously served as a canon in the Church of England, serving as the Bishop's Officer for Clergy Bereavement for Southwark Diocese, and also with Care for the Family as chaplain for their widowed young support and in facilitating bereavement care awareness days. I'm looking forward to finding out more and also looking at the topic from the perspective of a Christian in leadership needing to support those they lead. So welcome to the show, Yvonne.
Oh, hi. Hi, Andy. It's really good to talk to you.
Of course, I better just say at the very start, our conversation may trigger strong feelings for listeners. So if you've recently suffered a bereavement, do feel free just to maybe to tune out. And if you need support, do call Premier Lifeline, where you'll find sympathetic team members happy to talk. 0300 111 0101. So Yvonne, perhaps you could take us back to the death that caused you so much pain and the journey to founding the charity.
Thank you, Andy. Thank you so much. Yes, it was quite a few years ago now, but it sticks in my mind, as you can well imagine. It was 2008. I was canon for mission at Coventry Cathedral, and my husband, Simon, died very suddenly out of the blue. He had an international job. He had weeks before been given the clean bill of health with a health check. And he died suddenly of a heart attack in his sleep while he was abroad on business. I received the news at work the next morning, which came as a complete shock, as you can imagine. And my life just went into complete freefall. Absolute freefall. Three teenage children, all at university stage, two there, one about to go, about to take exams, one abroad on his gap year. It was just total chaos for me, absolute chaos. And I discovered, as a minister, as a priest, as somebody who had taken funerals and who'd been trained in all of this and thought I knew about all of this, I discovered that I didn't know anything. I really did not know anything about myself, what was going on for me. And I didn't understand my own reactions. And I've realized that other people also didn't understand what was going on for me. And they tried really hard to help. They wanted to help. They were keen to help. And many people were helpful in some respects, but what I discovered was a general society that doesn't understand grief and just doesn't get it. And months went by. About 6 months later, I was literally at the end of myself. I went from being really happy to at my absolute wit's end. There's so much with grief. Practical things that people have to face, and people always think about that, but they don't realize about the number of people who make life difficult for you because you can't close accounts and things like that. Then that also we think about the emotional side. We don't realize that it just goes down and down. There were psychological things. There were physical reactions. I was, you know, getting unwell. I had all sorts of strange pains and the spiritual side as well. I didn't expect as a minister, as somebody who'd never had a problem with my faith, that I would suddenly find myself in this wilderness of faith as well. And the whole thing was just absolute chaos and crisis on every level. And some months later, as I say, I was at my wit's end and I was fortunate to find that people actually told me about a couple of Christian support services. It was Care for the Family's Widowed Young Support. And I went along to one of their days and then subsequently to their weekend. And also HTB, Holy Trinity Brompton's The Bereavement Journey. A friend who'd been widowed many years before drove me all the way from the Midlands on 5 consecutive Thursday evenings down to London just so that I could access that, because he knew how helpful it could be. And you know, going to those just completely turned my situation around, sort of almost instantly. It made life so much more hopeful, and I had ways of being able to navigate what I was going through and tips and so on. And I found that actually I was able to face the future and rebuild my life simply because I found people who got it. So that's what happened for me and why I was so keen to address this problem.
Yvonne, some people would, having gone through a really rough time, want to stay right away from it. But you've decided to found a charity that will remind you, no doubt, of your own loss. So talk me through the process in your mind of how that came to be.
Yes, it was such an apparent problem that we have a society that's death denying, that doesn't get this. And yet bereavement is the only certainty in life. And it's the one thing, the only thing that we can be absolutely certain about will happen to absolutely all of us, yes, is that we're going to die. You know, so we're all going to face this, and we all do face it sooner or later with others. And yet we have a society that's so death denying that when we're in this scenario, we're completely left without help. And so I realized that the difference that finding people who get it can make. And I began to also see that what we do as a society, because we've been so death denying for such a long time, is we treat grief as if it's just about around the death and the funeral, and that once people have got over that they should be over it now, and then if they're not, we tend to think, oh, you need a counsellor. And they are the only two scenarios that seem to exist in people's minds. But in my experience, when I found somebody who got it, and I found specialists who understand my particular scenario and also the community support, actually you can turn the situation around. So I realized that our decades of death denial had left us in a place where our society wasn't dealing with death and grief in the way that it used to and should. And that actually what we needed to do was plug the gap between the event of the death and the thinking that somebody needs a counsellor, and actually provide people with signposting to the services and information and resources that are available, and also help people with better community support. And because I've been involved in the church and I am an Anglican minister, I really wanted the church to be leaders in providing good community support. So we set up the charity At a Loss, with the first aim of creating signposting. So we offer and provide the UK's bereavement signposting and information website. So it's UK-wide. It's got 2,000 services on there and an increasing amount of information and helplines and everything. So it's the one, it's the first place of port of call for people when someone has died, so that they can find the help that they need. And then since then, we've been working with the churches on our Loss and Hope project to equip and encourage and support churches to be better at providing the community support that is so lacking in society these days. So that's what we've been working on.
Yvonne, the many leaders listening, they may not be in church leadership, but they'll be leading in other settings. And so they will feel a responsibility if someone has been bereaved to say something or do something appropriate. Any obvious do's and don'ts?
Yes. What a lot of people tend to do is, because they don't necessarily know what to say, is they avoid people. And they also feel that it's not their place and it's not their right to necessarily interfere. Church leaders themselves do have a very special place of being in that moment. But for us all, the advice that we would give to absolutely everybody is to dare to be there. Dare to turn up, to pitch up. So the three tips, the tip that I have is three little things: contact, listen, and bless. Dare to be in touch, because that hi, I'm here for you, I'm so sorry to hear of your loss, and here I am, is such a big thing, and such a blessing, and such an important thing. Listen is so important, because as Christians in particular, we try to fix things. We think that people shouldn't be in this place. And the most important thing for bereaved people is just to be able to tell their story. It helps them to process and for them to be affirmed. Anything that's going on for them to be normalized. So we listen and we don't think that we know. We definitely don't know. We just allow them to say and to be, and to help them to say and to be. And then we bless them with anything nice that we can do for them, anything nice that we can give to them, anything that we can do to make life a bit easier, whilst they go through this really hard time. Any one of us can do that. It doesn't take a church leader, but church leaders can help their congregations to do this well. And if you want a tip on how to help your congregation to do that this well, and I can recommend nothing better than Care for the Families Bereavement Care Awareness Training, which is literally all about this, how to just get alongside somebody and say and do the right things.
That sounds fabulous, Yvonne. Last year, you wrote an article for Premier Christianity on the fact that less than half of people want a funeral when they die. What do you think this says about the culture, and what are the implications for us?
Yes, so this is another example of how our death-denying society has led us to a point that's not helpful. We don't like grief and sadness. We would rather just push that away, and we would rather focus on happy occasions and happiness. And what we've tended to do with funerals as time has gone by is make them more and more of a Thanksgiving and a celebration. Not that that's not right, but it is definitely not right if it's at the expense of the sorrow and acknowledging the loss. Okay. But then the other thing now is that more and more people are saying, well, we don't want to go to churches for funerals because we're a culture that is moving further away from faith. But that doesn't mean that the public don't want churches for help in this. What they want now instead is they want help with their grief. So whilst the inclination towards Christian ministers and churches being involved in funerals is declining quite sharply, what is rising very sharply is interest in churches helping people with the grief journey that follows. And that's where we are, and that's what we're involved in. And whilst there are reports of funerals being in decline, our experience is completely the opposite over grief and support. So we, in the pandemic years, the Church of England did some research into 2022 to look at people's attitudes of with church and death and around death in the pandemic, and they discovered that more than 90% are open to or want churches to support them in their grief. And that is the experience of what we're finding. We're in our Loss and Hope project, we are particularly encouraging churches to run the Bereavement Journey course. Since we republished it in the summer, it is going like wildfire, absolutely going like wildfire, because the churches are discovering that the public want it. And when they advertise it to the public, they come along. And they find it really helpful. And there's a session in there also, at the end, an optional session on faith. And most of the people who come who are not involved in church don't intend to come to that at the outset, but they do when it comes to it. They come along, they hear about a Christian response to the faith questions that they've all got in their bereavement. And the churches are finding that this is a really effective way of ministering to people around this whole subject.
Well, that's fascinating to hear. And whereas many churches would assume that funeral was it. Now you're saying actually there's a, if you think in terms of a whole package of support, and particularly grief, then that's a wonderful way of ministering. So thank you. That's terrific. Well, we'll give people details of how to get in touch with your website in due course. Yvonne, there's a new approach via chatbot where it's apparently possible for you to talk to a kind of AI simulation to get grief help. Just give me a gut reaction on whether this is good or bad or helpful or not.
Well, it for those of us involved in bereavement ministry, it is actually really quite worrying. As with the changes in funerals, just to sort of go back to that, it is really sad because we've absolutely got to help people to process their loss and their sorrow, you know, get them to a point of sorrow. And this, the AI stuff is just another example of people not wanting to acknowledge that the person has gone. You know, what funerals do is they help people to realize, to accept the reality of the fact that the person has gone. And then an aspect with it all are these, the increase in direct cremations and so on, where again, people are pushing this aside and they're saying, don't want to go there. We'll just deal with the stuff that we want to do. We don't want to accept that person will face up to the coffin, face up to the death, face up to the fact that the person has gone. Same with AI. What's happening here is that when people are bereaved, there is this process of adjustment. They need to get to a point of acceptance that the person has gone, and that takes a while. And during that period, there is a longing for remaining connected. It's a natural part of the grieving process to remain connected, to talk about the person as if they're still there, to want the person still to be here, to think that they're connecting with that person in different ways. And that's normal and that's natural. What the AI thing stuff is doing is actually perpetuating that and endorsing that rather than helping people to come to a point of acceptance that they've actually gone. Now, it could be argued that it's helpful to with some of the outstanding issues that there are, because death is very final and people are often left with guilt and regret over things. And what we find in the ministry that we're doing is that we try to facilitate that through encouraging people in this final session of optional session on faith. We encourage people to take those things to Jesus. What the AI thing, tool is doing is offering a different option, and allowing people to have a conversation that could potentially say, I just want to tell you one more time, I'm sorry, or I never told you how much I loved you, or I should have told you this thing that I never did. Those kinds of things. So it could be argued that it's helpful, but as I say, we have to be really careful that it's over the fact that it's actually not enabling the person to accept the loss. What we're doing as Christians is we're doing both. We're helping people to accept the loss as well as I say, take those issues to Jesus and receive the healing in that way.
Yvonne, when you were trained as a priest, and in fact many listeners who are church leaders will have gone through the classic stages of grief as an approach to help, have you typically found those kind of fit, or would you want to modify that classic training yourself?
Definitely want to modify it. The training that most clergy, most ministers have is sadly very inadequate. And now that's not a bad reflection upon the church, because there has to be so much time given to funerals training, and there's very little time available for all that has to be covered. But we must acknowledge that it's woefully inadequate. And sometimes I would say that a little bit of knowledge is worse than no knowledge. It would actually be better if ministers were told, we're training you for funerals and funerals only, but you actually don't understand about grief. Why don't you go to these people over here and they can help you out? Because to only pick up on stages of grief is to be in the wrong place with it all. We don't these days talk about stages any longer, because it gives the impression of a linear journey that you're going to sort of somehow go through in this order and reach the end. With grief, it's a messy mishmash of all sorts of things going on that's completely unique for each person. So you don't know what it's going to look like, and it doesn't have an end. It has an end to its intensity, but it's something that people have and live as a lifelong experience. And so in helping people through grief, we have to help them to go on that journey, whatever that looks like for them. And if it is a mess, then we should be glad of that, because that means they're processing, and help them to reach a place where they are well equipped for the new normal, where there will still be triggers, where there'll still be bad moments, it'll still be difficult, but we equip them for the new normal. That's what supporting grief is about. So no, I wouldn't say, I would encourage people to not talk about stages any longer, but about being alongside somebody in the mess of grief.
No, that's really helpful. Thank you. Yvonne, you've mentioned that the bereavement journey program, which is you've gone so well. Are you able to give us a potted kind of outline of what is done and how those listening might access it?
Yes, thank you. It's the bereavement journey's been around for about nearly 30 years. My colleague, Jane Ungen, created it at HTB many, many years ago and ran it for many years and refined it so well that it is powerfully effective for anybody in any bereavement scenario. So it's, and since we've taken it over, we've rewritten it and refilmed and republished it since the pandemic to update it. And what it's doing now is providing films, followed by discussion groups in a package, well packaged for churches, so that there's all the resources needed to be able, for anyone to be able to run it easily, pick it up and go with it. But it's helping people to come together and in a discussion, talk about the issues that they see in the films and process grief for themselves alongside others who are in a similar scenario. So it's a peer group discussion facilitated by churches. So it's literally just facilitated. People do their own grief work and they are facilitated by the churches to do that. And so I say it's really, really popular. And what churches are finding is that they, when they advertise it to the public, GPs, social prescribers, funeral directors are really glad to send people. And people come along and they find it very effective for all scenarios of grief. The other thing about and the faith session is a beautiful added extra for people, where churches are beginning to see that people are engaging with faith and beginning to come to church because of it. The other thing about it in its present, its new form, is that we're helping people to explore past losses as well as current losses. Because of what we said earlier about being death denying as a culture, what has happened for many years is that people have thought that they have dealt with their grief by bracing themselves and carrying on. And this has happened so much that we've got what I would say is a country of unprocessed grief. There are a lot of people, if almost everybody, is walking around with unprocessed grief, but not bereavements that they have not had the chance to explore and to work through. And that's not a healthy thing, because it has consequences in many ways. So we're encouraging people through the bereavement journey to dare to sit down and explore a past bereavement too.
Well, that sounds fabulous. And as you say, that has an impact on mental health. People may think their mental health issue is something else. Actually, it's unprocessed grief.
Absolutely.
Yvonne, just as we close, I mean, clearly you're enthusiastic in the right sense of the word, of in terms of how the Lord's using you. You've been encouraged in your ministry. What are your hopes for the future? What would how would you like to see At a Loss continue to flourish?
Well, we're at a really exciting moment, Andy. Been doing this for 8 years now, and it's been an uphill struggle trying to persuade people about the fact that we have a societal issue here. And it's largely thanks to the media that things have begun to change, because grief is now becoming a bit of a hot topic. And if you remember back to the stigma around mental health a number of years ago, nobody would even talk about it, would they? And now it's almost becoming a sexy topic, mental health, isn't it? Grief is riding, I'm thankfully, on the back of that. It's becoming at last a topic that people are talking about and wanting to learn how to deal with. And we are finding in our charity that people are beginning to come to us, increasingly coming to us. And this is the moment for us. I've been saying for years that I wanted churches to lead the way in all of this. And finally, with the growth of the bereavement journey and the spread of it so quickly, we have that hope. So we've always been putting out to church leaders over the last few years that we would love them to do this so well that they adopt our bereavement friendly church charter, and that they become bereavement friendly church as a church. And then in turn, they inspire others in the community to do this well. And we have bereavement friendly communities. We do not have any of those yet, but I am very hopeful that this year and very soon we will begin to see churches leading the way in transforming our society. And in so doing, seeing people come to church and to faith in great numbers.
Well, Yvonne, thank you so much for all you've shared. The website, just as a closer,
yes. So ataloss.org is our signposting website. So that's for anybody of any faith or none in any bereavement scenario to tell them about so they can find support. Then if you're interested in learning how to be better at bereavement support as a church, then the lossandhope.org is our website for equipping churches, lossandhope.org. And in particular, the bereavement journey, thebereavementjourney.org, a special website for that, for anybody that you want to direct anybody to who's been bereaved, but also if you want to run that particular initiative.
Well, thank you again, Yvonne, very much indeed.
Thank you.
That was my conversation with Yvonne Tulloch, the founder and CEO of the charity At A Loss. Her surname is T-U-L-L-O-C-H. And the website again is ataloss.org. It was a fascinating conversation. Sad, of course, that having lost her husband, she went through such a time of pain. But also great to discover her leadership zeal in seeking to help other people who'd been through what she'd been through. And you could tell from the conversation how her work in seeking to help the bereaved is flourishing. She mentioned to me after the recording that many younger people are also benefiting from the bereavement journey. Many of them have unprocessed grief from the loss of peers, but of course, particularly parents and grandparents. And many of the young people's mental health issues that are so commonly trumpeted within the media stem from unprocessed grief. And her belief is that the church can be very much involved in support and encouragement of folk who are going through this journey. So this is Andy Peck thanking you for your company and looking forward to the next time. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Profile in association with Premier Christianity Magazine.